You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone, welcome along to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's Series 8, Episode 30, coming your way this week. And Dundalk are saved for now, thanks be to God. We're going to talk about that on the pod in the next few minutes. I've just come out of the Dundalk 1903 Supporters Club public meeting tonight, so I'll give you a bit of a breakdown on what happened there. But yeah, the big news earlier on today, we're speaking on Tuesday night, but earlier on this afternoon, Dundalk did announce that John Temple, a man from the Avenue Road in Dundalk, that he and his consortium have agreed to take over for at least the end of the season, it would seem. We'll talk about the statement. There could be potentially other consortiums that do get involved with Dundalk going forward. But for now, Gary, they are safe, and that's the main thing.
Yeah, for now. Like people are going on as if, you know, they've confirmed existence for the next 50 years. They've confirmed existence for the next 5 or 6 games. The takeover, the statement is a load of nonsense. Well, not a load of nonsense, but like, it's not very clear. It doesn't actually clarify what is actually going to happen in the long term, except for up to the end of the season. All these lads are doing is taking over the wage bill and the outgoings of the club until the end of the season. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, so look, obviously I've like, supposed to paint a picture for you. Like, I'm obviously up here in Dundalk all week, so it's only Tuesday, and already for Dundalk fans, it feels like the longest week of their life, because Sunday evenings was when I first heard the rumours that the club could potentially be liquidated. And I was kind of, I got home from work Sunday evening and I was like, how do I tell herself these rumours that I've heard? And I just decided, you know what, I'm not going to. Next thing, I was over here in the kitchen doing bits and pieces and turned around and herself is in a flood of tears. And I was like, what's going on? And she got a text basically with the rumours that I had heard earlier in the day. Then Monday came around and I fully expected 5 p.m. the Dundalk were gone. I went up to Oriel Park on Monday evening, and then obviously the news broke that they'd been given the stay of execution. And even today then, you're just dreading that the news was going to break, talks have broken down, and that's it, good luck, wrap it up and go home. But thankfully there was positive drips and drabs coming all day, so I think most people were able to take a bit of a breath. And then the news came this evening that the deal had been done and Dundalk will at least complete this season. But I suppose I got into a bit of euphoria after that. I was delighted for herself and for all the Dundalk fans. I know that the club had been saved, but then you texted me and you were like, the statement, the second paragraph is a bit worrying, and I'm just going to read it. It's John Temple, who hails from Avenue Road in Dundalk, will lead a consortium of investors who have agreed to underwrite the players' current wages until the end of the season and will examine the viability of the club and its facilities going forward.
Yeah. Like that's my exact point. Like, people are going on and cheering and yelping and jumping around, and that's absolutely fine, but like, nothing has been done yet. All you've done is added on 5 or 6 weeks, or whatever the number of weeks is left in the season. This is far from over. And like, don't it sound to be just miserable immediately after the, you know, 4 or 5 hours after all this was announced. But at the same time, this is not sorted. Like, people are going on cheering, oh, the man that saved Dundalk, John Temple. Yeah, fair play to him. All he has done is taken on a load of dirt for the rest of the season. Like, I wouldn't... It doesn't take that much to scratch away from that statement to go, actually, all we've done is booted the ball down the road, and we're coming right up on it quick. I think there needs to be, I don't know what needs to be done. I know, and absolutely, and certainly take your wins and celebrate the wins when you can get them. And this is a win, make no mistake about it, because, you know, 24 hours ago there was talk that it would be done by 5 o'clock, which was never really on the cards, but you know, put a bit of time pressure on something, and next thing you know, it's shit or get off the pot very quick. And yeah, that's all very good, but like, the second paragraph, takeover complete. That's grand, and that was great for all the people that just read the headline. and that stupid tweet, that stupid, stupid, one of the stupidest tweets that a club has ever done before they release a statement. They are, the Dundalk are still in dire straits. There's no clearance of debts based on this consortium.
I'm not sure I'd agree with that. Like, if you're up here, it's been a hugely emotional week for the supporters. They needed something, and they've got...
Yeah, and the supporters have got that. I don't think the club should be doing that.
I disagree with you there.
Why?
But
why?
Because the people needed a lift. There was people in floods of tears outside Oriel Park yesterday.
Yeah. Right.
The club has been saved for now. We don't know. As you said, we're speaking 4 or 5 hours after this news has broke. So I'm sure we'll hear from John Temple in the coming days, and he might outline what the plan is. And as I've mentioned, there is reports in the papers and elsewhere that another consortium will hold talks with him now to see about either taking the club off his hands maybe at the end of the season, or, which would, I think, be great, the two consortiums maybe amalgamating and putting their resources together. And as I said, I've come out of a meeting this evening. The 1903 Supporters Club had a public meeting, and obviously they've raised over 20,000 through the GoFundMe. And I think it was I've been there tonight. It was a great meeting, and Neville Mahoney from the European Supporters Council, she spoke as well and outlined maybe some of the options that might be there for the supporters going forward in terms of forming their own body. And we'll come to that in a while, but The 1903 broke down some of the costs already that some of the bills they've footed in the last couple of weeks. So obviously Dundalk played Waterford last week down in the RSC, and the 1903 used some of that GoFundMe money to pay the match day expenses, so the travel and the food essentially for the players. And there was also some academy teams that likewise had travel expenses and food expenses that came to over €4,000.
Yeah.
So that
it's not handy running a football team in Ireland, is it?
And they did confirm that they did say that they've had no clarity as of yet as whether they'll be needed to support the club for this weekend's game. Obviously, Dundalk go to Sligo, and I think they have something like 5 academy teams on the road this weekend. Right. And even they outline, and again, we asked for, I suppose, a bit of support from the FEI in situations like this. It was outlined that they're trying to cut costs where possible. So any games that are in Dublin. Academy games, they're looking for basically the players to carpool, and that's understandable. But there was a couple of games, underage games, scheduled for Sligo this week, and they were going to put a couple of teams on the one bus essentially, or two buses, and try and cut down the cost. But all of a sudden then one of the fixtures has been moved to another venue in Sligo, and they're totally different times, so now they have to run two separate buses, and obviously that incurs more costs, so that's not overly helpful. But these are the sort of things that these people will be taking on, and it's not going to be handy.
No, it's far from handy. And like, I think our good friend Ethan said it, it's actually not very easy to run a League of Ireland football club. It's incredibly difficult, regardless of all the shite down through the years, people double contracts, spending money they didn't have,
selling stuff they shouldn't have sold.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They had no right to sell and all the rest of that. Like, so like, I'm not saying... the whole thing is a cautionary tale to getting involved with a League of Ireland team. But it's been a long time since there has been a team that's been in this kind of state. And it's not great. Probably, as I said a few weeks ago, that there was probably a couple of clubs that would have been in dire straits if it wasn't for COVID. Even if you look at Dundalk's books over the last few years, the only time they made a profit was during COVID, when the government was paying for everything.
And 2016,
yeah. Of course. That's before they went silly. And like, this is all great, great stuff, right? And I stand by the idea that the tweet was stupid. But the idea that I don't want to be overly harsh, but like, the Dundalk and their fans and the club as a whole is not out of the woods yet. And I don't want to sound playing the type as being completely miserable, but like, this is far from over. The number of games that are left in the season, like, and you're even talking about the logistics of it that people don't even think about. Like, how do an under 16 team get from Dundalk to play Salt Hill Devon on a Sunday morning? Do you know what I mean? Like, those costs are not thought of. When you're looking on the outside, and why isn't the club doing this and why isn't the club doing that? because there's a lot of cost running all these teams, and mostly teams that they're obliged to run as part of the academy setup and as part of being a League of Ireland team. So all of these things are requirements. And it's, I suppose it's a very, it was good that the 1903 meeting actually explained some of that. Do you know what I mean? Because I'd say there's a lot of people that do know about it, but a lot more that don't. And I think it's important that, you know, that's understood.
Yeah, and I have to say as well, I would have been probably, when the GoFundMe went up and me and you spoke about this, I kind of didn't see the point of it, to be honest.
No, not right.
I was looking at, you know, clubs in 2 million reportedly, or 1.5 million debt. Now they got the great news, obviously, that the government's going to support them with the improvement of the playing facilities there if the club stays in business. That was kind of a bit of a carrot then that was dangled to potential investors. So that announcement was very welcome. But when I went to the meeting tonight then, and you see the cost that it took to get that team down to Waterford last week, I probably have revised my position on it now. If that GoFundMe hadn't been set up, I don't think Dundalk got a team to Waterford last week. And as a result, there's probably no club, because the punishment that would have come with not being able to field a team, you can imagine it probably would have been the final nail in the coffin. So I think we've got to salute the 1903 for putting that together, and the people that put their hand into their pocket and got that over the line. I think something we've spoken about on the pod, something we've been critical of, and Dundalk fans themselves will admit, they sat on their hands during the glory years. And they didn't form an organised body, and they didn't fundraise and didn't save for the rainy day. And I think this has been the mother of all shocks to them now. And
yeah, it's a wake-up call.
A number of supporters spoke tonight. There was an open mic. And like, the one thing everyone said is, we have to keep this momentum going now. We have to keep the goodwill going. We have to capitalize on this. And it was great to see. I think there's probably a lot of division, like a lot of clubs. Longford Towns is a very small fan base. Lots of divisions in it at times. Everyone has different opinions and all the rest. Different groups. You've got your singing section and the people who like to sit in the stand, and you know, they say, oh, why aren't they standing and clapping? And some people don't like to do that. Some people like to sit and watch a game and read their match program, and that's fine. But Dundalk's like that. You've got lots of different groups. You've got the Shedside Army, you've got the 1903, there's other smaller supporter groups that have been going a number of years. You've got so many different podcasts, and there can be a very split kind of view on things at times. But tonight, I think Danny O'Connell, who's obviously a very well-known supporter around the league, he got up, and he'd obviously be kind of well associated with the Shedside Army, I suppose. He said that it's time now for everyone to row in, whether it's Shedside, 1903, whether you sit in the stand, whether you stand in the shed, everyone has to row in here. And, you know, we need to start planning, let it be. There was a lot of talk about, can we mirror what Sligo Rovers do in terms of a membership program and stuff like that. So it's great to hear that. That needs to happen now. But it's good that the Dundalk fans are finally starting to talk about these things.
Yeah, and it's obviously long overdue. And I do sympathise with the idea that, like, it was probably difficult for to engage. But, like, it was difficult, like, we'll say, for the 1903 probably to engage when it was peak six, probably. Or maybe not the 1903, but whatever supporters club came before that. Because I think I remember that going on, like, where, like, when Bill was at his high at his high point, there was a lot of stuff going on, and people were like, okay. And wasn't there some supporters group that were trying to get involved and, like, help with the general running of the club or fundraising and stuff like that?
And well, was, even
were kind of rebuffed.
Again, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, supporters not doing their part, and the 1903, did they do enough over the last couple of years to try and, like, engage with the club? Jerry Lennon, who was interim chairperson of the 1903 for a period and had other involvement in the 1903 as well, he got up tonight and he kind of clarified that the 1903 did work extremely hard to try and get engaged with the Stat Sports kind of era of the club, that they sent letters to the club, they asked for meetings, and there was nothing coming back their way. So I think they did try, but my argument would be, I think this has been put forward by people that I've often said, well, why aren't they fundraising? Why aren't the fans fundraising anyway? Get a pot built up. Get a pot built up for a rainy day fund, for do something to the, I suppose maybe it's difficult to, you know, do improvements to the ground if the club aren't, you know, you can't just go into the ground and start hammering and chiseling or whatever. But yeah. My point would be, they should have been kind of fundraising all along and have that pot built up for the rainy days that have come over the last week or so. That would just be my argument. But to be fair, they did put the point forward tonight that they tried to engage, and that wasn't there from the club. But hopefully the new owners that come in now will look to engage with these people, and that they will raise serious funds for the club going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it needs to be done. Look, I appreciate it's difficult. Like we'll say, Longford, like I can walk into the ground anytime I want and do whatever I want. But, and maybe, you know, that's a privilege that I have. But and I appreciate that it mightn't just be as handy to, you know, as you said, hammer and chisel or mop and bucket in Oriel. But I think I'm happy that the club is still existing for now. But I'm still very wary about the road ahead and what's going to occur when it gets to the end of the season. And the boys, because all they're going to be doing now for the next 6 or 8 weeks, they probably won't even watch a football match. They're going to look at the debt. Who do we owe? Why do we owe it? Can we pay this off? When do we need to pay it off? You know, the revenue are looking at us. All of these things are going on. And the games are being played and everybody's happy. But like, they could come along and say, right, we can't continue this in the way it is, and with the debt that's in the entity at the minute. I don't understand why anybody else would come along and just, you know, flutter away a couple of million just to pay off the debt. I'd struggle with that. Also, the other thing is, right, this is just another jockey that has come to ride the horse. This is just another port in a storm. Do you know what I mean? I appreciate that people have stepped up. But who were these people last week? I'm asking.
I don't know.
But you know what I mean? It's just someone else that has rocked up at this particular moment. And it might be someone else come the end of the season. And I was let me finish. Yeah, Dundalk would have had to have taken anybody with the money. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's fair. That's probably fair.
But that's what I mean. Like, you've taken the first lad that has come up with a few pounds. Like, right, we're going to solve this. What were you going to say there?
I was going to say another interesting aspect of this. I think the FAI or someone from the FAI came
David Carell.
Came out and said, look, there was probably shortcomings and loopholes and we need to close up them loopholes. This deal seems to have obviously been agreed between Dundalk and the new owners of Brian Ainscough and the new owners. Has this been ratified by the FAI? Have they looked in, or is this the same loophole where the club has a license and
But also the other question is, like, I'll say, like, I know Onan Kerry and Onan Dundalk are slightly different, but it's not as if the FAI, as if Brian Ainscough just booted in the door one morning and right, I own Dundalk now. He wasn't an unknown entity to the FAI. Do you know what I mean? They're going on as if, like, oh, who's Brian Ainscough? How do you spell his name? They're going on as if, like, they never met the lad. But he had owned, or was significantly, what title did he have with Kerry? Was the CEO?
Well, he was one of the probably main investors, I suppose, would be.
But he was not nobody.
Mm.
And they're going on as if, like, they just met him last week. Oh, Jesus, this fellow owns some dock. What's going on here?
And I know you made a very good argument last week, maybe the heat coming the FAI's way in some ways isn't warranted, but when you see those comments from David Carell, then I think people will say the FAI, they dropped the ball again.
No, I still don't believe that. Nothing in the past up to this moment in time has moved me one iota from the position that this is on the FAI. It's nothing to do with them. I'm not saying it's fully nothing to do with them, but all I'm saying is, like, they don't have the team, the expertise. Like, as I said to you last week, it's like, I'm Brian Ainscough, or I'm Gary Riley, and I have 10 million, right? I go to Longford Town, I buy Longford Town. I show my accounts, here FAI and all the staff, here's 10 million, I'm going to run this club. Grand, thanks very much, come back to me next season. And I say to Longford Town, come along. All right, Gary, we need a few pounds of you. Start paying players off, no money. as I said last week, is Mark Scanlon going to come down to my house in Longford and go, well, lad, give me that money because Longford Town need the money? That's not going to happen, right? That's not going to happen. You can do all the ownership tests and all this and all that and all the other. If the person on with the money is not going to spend it on the day it needs to be spent, that's it, done. It's diddled. There's no way around that. Unless you're going to start putting in, you know, 2 million at the start of every year in some escrow account that the FA
and people have floated that idea.
That's also not realistic. Like, how can a club like Sligo put in 2 million at the start of the year or whatever?
They're talking about maybe clubs that have new owners coming in or private investors coming in.
That's way too much for the FA to handle.
Can they handle anything? Can they run a bath?
They can't run a bath, but like, as I said, they're getting their sandwiches sent over from England. They have bigger issues to worry about.
They're not actually getting their, just for anyone listening, that missed previous podcast. But
well, we don't know that. We cannot confirm that they're not getting the sandwiches sent over from the UK.
Anyway, look, for now, we're speaking Tuesday night. Dundalk are safe for now, and hopefully this is the start of a more stronger and stable Dundalk. With fan involvement going forward, and with owners that want to do things the right way. As I said, I was up at the 1903 meeting. I did think about trying to grab a few people for interviews and that, but this is such a fluid situation that say by the time we put this pod out, there could be something else. They could have new owners again. So I said we just see where we are tonight. Me and you guys will have a chat about Dundalk, and we'll move on to talk about the league in a wider sense now. But over the coming weeks, when things settle down at Dundalk, I'm sure we'll try and get some of the parties involved onto the pod for a chat. But for now, as we said, we're just relieved Dundalk FC is still an entity in the League of Ireland, because not only would they be a huge, huge loss, but of course it would have really diddled the league table.
Oh yeah, it would have really. What would have Derry have been, like 3 or 4 points ahead or something like that? Like, it would have been a right old rigmarole.
I think people were saying yesterday, I'm surprised Duffer didn't come up with the 300k just to keep us top of the league.
I saw that as well, but also I think
Spare change to that fella.
Well, look, he earned it. Someone still hasn't to play. I think, do Dundalk have to play them yet in the run in? I think. Derry have to play Dundalk, I think, still. So, like, that would have, like, freed up a weekend. Like, it would have also been, like, fixture changes as well.
Yeah.
Like, it would have been a right old mess.
Yeah, it really would.
Particularly when all the games are going on at the same time for the last game of the season. Which wouldn't have been possible. But also, it wouldn't really matter to Drogheda and Dundalk the last game, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it matter to Drogheda, because they would have been safe at that point. So.
Well, they'd still have to go through a playoff.
They would have to go through the playoff, but
they would have had a long time to prepare for the playoff, which may be unfair in itself. So
exactly.
there's so many little intricacies there that would have really been.
But look, it's great for the old integrity of the league that the team hasn't dropped.
And like, this podcast is around since 2017. Monaghan were the last team to go to the wall mid-season 2012.
Yeah. So how much? How much did they owe, do you remember?
100k, was it?
60.
Oh, Jesus, yeah, desperate. Anyway, look, we'll not get into that here all night. But that happened 2012. As I said, we came around 2017, and like, there would have been whispers here and there, clubs maybe struggling wages, but not a huge amount. Like, we've spoken about that. The last few years has been very steady by League of Ireland standards. The day of the asterisks on the league table is gone. The day of front page headlines about all players haven't been paid, that's gone. Was gone up until last week. So it is a shame that this has happened. But as I said, if this can be the wake up call for Dundalk, that you cannot rely on Sugard, and a wake up for the rest of the clubs too, because I think every club in this league, bar one or two obvious examples, are probably only ever a bad decision or two, a bad month or two away from being in a situation like this.
Well, a single bad decision would make a hames of it. But I just when you're talking about other clubs, or you know how it's progressed over the years, did we say it last week about Conan Byrne and what his wages were?
Yeah.
Right. There, no one's near 350 these days. They're at 350 a day. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like some of the wages that are flying around the place, and Tim Clancy, well, I'm repeating myself, just clip this from last week and put it in now. Tim Clancy was right. There are a lot of teams not earning big money or finding money somewhere and paying out insane wages. Some of the wages, like the numbers I do be hearing, would make you just floor you. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
And like, I don't know where, like, are we getting that much more money? Are clubs making that much more money these days? The cost of everything has gone through the roof. Probably costs a few grand to run a bus anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know where they're getting the money. And the losses, I know the losses, and I keep talking about, we need to go back to this, but I think the League of Ireland team money being spent is incredibly overheated at the minute.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that players should be on 350 a week, but Jesus, like, I don't know what they should be, like the thousands being spent on salaries is just insane, and I don't know how long that can keep going.
Yeah, I used the phrase last week, and like Dundalk, I know it's probably like things have been extremely crazy at Dundalk with different owners coming and going, and I think Oriel Park has obviously been a huge issue for them. It's been very restrictive. Like there's been, I've listened to some of the Dundalk podcasts this week, and they were talking about how like the people in the town need to get out and support them more. The 2,500 or 2,200 people at a game isn't enough to sustain a competitive football club. But like Oriel Park is a huge limiting factor in that.
Oh, it's incredible.
Even if the team's going extremely well, you're going to get maybe 3,000 the best in there. But like if it's a wet night and a horrible old night, no one's going to go up and stand in Oriel Park. So that must be a factor there. I don't want to go back to the dog thing because we kind of covered it over the last 20 minutes or so. But I just feel that things are built on sand a little bit, and this might be just a little bit of a, as you said, a message for everyone just to try and cool it down. I know we all want to grow the league, but again, you're looking at the facilities, and are the facilities improving? Are the academies improving?
Very hard to say. That's true.
So like, look, we'll leave it there for now. It's
can we just talk about like how bad Oriel is?
As I said, it's great that Dundalk are still with us, and if you're a Dundalk listener, I'm delighted you're still with us as well. Let's move into the Premier Division review, Gary. We'll speak about Waterford Dundalk in a minute, but I want to talk about the game that's most recently been played in the League of Ireland Premier Division. That was the game last night between Galway and Shamrock Rovers. I watched this on LOI TV, and of course this came off the back of Shamrock Rovers winning 4-0 at home to Sligo Rovers on Friday, so they're within 8 points of the league leaders now. I know we ask this every couple of weeks. Is it still on? Is the drive for five alive, my friend?
I don't believe so. I think it's going to be quite difficult to pull it out of the fire.
They have an awful clatter of games coming up. Is it four?
Shamrock Rovers?
Yeah, is it four matches in 11 days? Something along that cut?
Yeah, and are they going to be perfect for each of them? Do you know what I mean? Like, I just don't see it. They haven't been perfect all season.
Even sorry to go across you, but there's a lot of talk today. I don't know, was it Rodri or someone came out in England and said, you cannot expect players to be at their peak when they're playing 60, 70 games a season. He said 40 or 50 is fine. You probably get away with it. 60, 70 is not realistic.
Yeah.
These are League of Ireland players. They're like, they are professional footballers, but we know they're not at the level, you know, they're not been exposed to the strength and conditioning and the gyms and all everything that comes with playing for the Manchester City players will be on. So to four games in 11 days, is it realistic to expect Rovers to be at their very best in every game? I don't think they were at their very best last night, but they got the job done. So I just think I just think the clatter of games is probably the most worrying aspect. But you look at the players that come on last night again, Mandreou, Dara Burns, Lee Grace. They had Jack Byrne on the pitch. I don't think Graham Burke played last night. Like the quality of that squad, they should be doing better. And I know they're probably entitled to an off year after winning four leagues in a row. But they should be giving us more. The quality of player they've got there is insane.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, but they just haven't been clicking. And they've been making a lot of mistakes. And Leon Poles is in goals, who just isn't as good as the last fella.
Mm.
Whatever his name was. What was his name?
Alamanis.
Thank you very much. You know, these are just limitations that they now have. And plus, they're probably just tired.
Yeah. I'm mentally like, tired.
Mentally tired.
I think that's a lot of pundits in the league have used that term.
Yeah, and you're there looking and going, and I have, oh, Jesus, you know, after a bad result there, and I have to go and look at Bradley going on to me now about some shite that I did or didn't do. And after hearing about it for the last 4 years, and I know the mentality of a high level footballer is completely different than that, and that I certainly have, but it's still not handy to do that. And I think when it wasn't going great, they probably just found it hard to get that extra mile, get that extra bit, and that's why they're in the position they're in. I do think that like they do have the quality, but do they have the other intangibles to get it over the line? I'm not 100% sure. I think I don't, as I've kind of been trying to maintain some type of consistency in this podcast, I think Shells will have, or just won't be dropping enough points. Now, I know they're making a good fist of it, but I don't think they'll just drop enough.
Yeah.
And I think when the going gets tough, Duffer will come out with something and blow them away, and they'll get
so
over
too.
It.
I think so too. We will obviously be talking about Derry Shells, the FAI Cup game from the weekend, in a little while. Just to answer my own question, I suppose, I asked you, is the drive for five still alive? We'll get our answer, I suppose, on Friday night when Shamrock Rovers take on Derry City, and if they win that one, I'd certainly fancy them to catch Derry at the very least. Whether they catch Shelburne, we will have to wait and see. But they could come with a very late challenge.
They certainly did, or they certainly could. Excuse me, I was going to ask about last night's game in Galway.
Yeah,
was that a foul for the winner?
No, not a hope. No. No, own goal. Simple as that. There was talk of a foul up the pitch too on Ed McCarthy. I think I don't think that was a foul either. I do have to say though, I think just to turn it to a Galway perspective, I thought Galway played very well. I've seen a lot of people again, you know, talking about their style of play and they weren't great.
I thought they were okay.
I thought they were good. I thought they're what we were talking about, tempo, that Ireland don't do, tempo, energy, aggression. There was lots of that. There was times where, like, you know, they pinned Rovers in and okay, they're not opening up with six or seven little intricate passes, but they're getting the ball out wide. They're getting the ball in the box. And you've talked about Poles. He's struggling for confidence. They put a few crosses and he dealt with it well, to be fair to him. But Dan Cleary, like, they had him rattled at times. I thought he was maybe lucky to stay on the pitch. Did you see where he raised the arm? I know there wasn't
I didn't see that. I saw you tweeting about it, all right. But he
got booked for a typical stupid Dan Cleary challenge. but then there's a bit
takes
of
a leg off, does he?
Bit of a fracas, and I think it was Greg Cunningham came in, and he just raises his elbow ever so slightly. Now, he doesn't hit him in the face. He kind of hits him in the chin. And if Cunningham does kind of hold his face.
To your face, by the way.
Yeah, fair enough. But like Cunningham doesn't like hit the deck like a bag of spuds, but he does kind of like, you know, make the ref know, he makes it known to the ref, oh, I've been struck here. But if Cunningham was less honest there, he probably could have hit the deck and rolled around, and I think Cleary might have been in trouble. But Cleary gave away the penalty. I haven't seen a conclusive replay of it. Some people have called it harsh, but I just think Cleary is such a rash player. His decision making, the amount of times you see him just plow through the back of a lad and give away frees in dangerous areas, he wouldn't be for me at all. And you talked about Rovers giving away some silly goals this season. I know Poles has obviously been a guilty party in that, but I think you have to look at players like Cleary too and say their decision making at times has been poor. But I thought it was a decent effort from Galway. Moving on to the game that happened on Friday night last, Waterford 2, Dundalk 1. This is a game where there was hugely, there's nothing contentious about it. Dundalk were robbed of a Stonewall penalty.
Yeah. I think some people were trying to, you know, explain it away or whatever. Yeah. It's just like, I see where you're coming from. Oh, where's he supposed to put his hand? It's just like, sorry, it can't be just like out in midair.
Yeah,
and stop a ball heading towards the goals.
And you, that's just a studier of the laws. Would that have been a red card as well?
No, I don't think so.
Why not? Ball was going into the net.
Yeah, but I'll have to think back on that now. Actually.
Suppose the ref is deliberate, not deliberate. I don't know. Does that actually come into the? I'm showing my rustiness here now.
I haven't looked at it in a while. But maybe we should know this shit. It's still a penalty. It's still a penalty, right? Regardless of if a man is sent off or not, that's not the main point. The penalty should have been awarded. I can't see any rhyme or reason as to why it wasn't. I think Owen Kenny got a yellow card immediately for John. Yep. And legitimate John it was, and I don't know. I just it's just really frustrating. Like, and I, and even like,
this is supposed to be one of our leading referees as well in Rob Hennessy.
Yeah. Well, look, he hasn't had a great couple of seasons.
No.
I don't think so. And I said it to you. When did I say it to you? Up in Ballybuffet. Longford Town should not have had two red cards in that game last year against Pats. But yeah, like I said, there's been a number of gaffes. I can remember a few from Longford Town. Lopez not getting sent off against Longford Town. Like, I'm not saying that would have changed Longford Town season, but my God, it would have been great to get a point out of Tala at the time. You know, so like there's a lot of mistakes. I can't see any real reason as to why that wasn't a penalty. Like it wasn't that his arm was like down by his side, or it was like miles out in the air. Like it was, and yeah. it stopped a goal bound shot. I can't explain that. So I think that's not ideal from the ref. But yeah, I just think when the going is tough, that, you know, it's. When you're down there and all of those things and all those phrases, they apply here.
We'll come back to Dundalk in a second. Just on Waterford, it's a massive result for them. They haven't been in fantastic form over the last while, but that leaves them fourth now, only 2 points behind Shamrock Rovers in third. Fourth may or may not be enough to get into Europe next season. But
it's better than a kick in the hole, isn't it?
Yeah, big result for them. Just on Dundalk, obviously with everything that's happened over the last couple of days, players thought they were going to be looking for new clubs, that it was gone, but now they've got a reprieve, not only in terms of the club staying alive, but it looks like from all the reports that are out there that Dundalk won't go into the scarp just yet, so there'll be no points deductions. That gives them a chance on the field of trying to stay up, which is great, again, as we said, for the sport and integrity of the league. Do you think everything that's happened, will it give the Dundalk players a boost and maybe aid their chances of overhauling Drogheda?
No. I don't think so. I thankfully, I've never been in a situation like that. And, you know, I do have sympathy for the players, of course. And obviously, they have to be commended for playing on. Do you know what I mean?
Like, and to be fair, and yeah, they did
and
offer
training
to,
and everything,
and like, offered to defer their wages for a couple of weeks as well. So I think credit to them, because a lot of those lads, most of them, they're not local to that club. As we've said, they've come in from England, they've come in from Scotland. You know,
and this they didn't have to do it, but they did.
So I think that'll be commended. And the atmosphere at Oriel Park probably hasn't been fantastic at times this season, but I think now what everyone's been through, what the players have gone through, and let's not forget that, and what they've done to try and aid the situation and try and help and not hinder the club, I think everyone will row in behind them, and I think there definitely will be a lift. But I've spoken about the lack of quality that I feel is in that Dundalk team in certain areas. I still don't see them overhauling Drogheda, but I definitely think that we will get a lift. And look, who knows, Sligo are the sort of team, they throw in a bogey result here and there. Dundalk could go down to Sligo on Saturday and win, and all of a sudden it's Drogheda that are feeling the heat. But we'll move on to the First Division, Gary. Kerry 1, Cork City 4, the champions continuing to march on to a very fine season overall.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. A really good performance, result, all of the above. Exactly what was required, to be fair. They did, I suppose, were they clinical? Like, it was four, there was 4-0 up before Kerry pulled one back. There was obviously, I think we might have mentioned it last week, that they might be on the beach to an extent, but just the quality shone through, and their full value for the win. Good for Longford Town. Yeah. I was obviously, goals go in was positive at the time for us.
Yeah, you robbed me of a little segue there. You're talking about quality. I was going to say, speaking of quality, there was certainly a lack of it at the game that we went to on Friday. But before that, the first BTS kebab review in a very, very long time on this show. And I know our listeners, I threw up a picture of our kebabs the other day. I couldn't believe the amount of likes I got. I was like, our listeners need to really get a life. No offense, guys, but... where were we?
We were in something. What was it? Grill.
Hang on. Let me go into the old media here on the Twitter. We stayed local. We were in Ballybuffet. It wasn't like Cove where we had to go driving for miles. Right, here we go. We were in the Super Charcoal. Super Charcoal Grill in Ballybuffet. Myself and Gaz both went for the super charcoal grilled kebab with all the meats.
Yeah.
There's no cats or dogs in it now, thankfully.
No, there wasn't.
Mr. Trump. But I'll go to you first, Gaz. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Oh, big thumbs up. Big thumbs up. Anybody that's going near Bally Buffet for League of Ireland football or otherwise, pay them a visit. The kebabs are exceptionally good. The super charcoal grill now is meaty. There is a lot of meat there.
As the picture would...
Yeah, and now I wouldn't normally do this. I was tactical. I asked for no salad because I knew there was a lot of meat here. But yeah, it was it was on point.
Yeah, you did ask for extra sauce. And to be fair, I don't know, like if our listeners are kebab connoisseurs like ourselves, you know when you squeeze the pita together and you can just see the sauce, like, you know, smothering the meat. That's what was going on here. It was absolutely sensational. I saw the boys cooking the naan bread fresh, or the wrap, the bread, whatever, cooking it fresh.
Yeah,
it was freshly made there and then. It wasn't like out of a pack. As Gary said, there was a lot of different meats in it. I don't know what half the stuff was, but it was top class. Lots of sauce. I got cabbage on mine, red cabbage. Beautiful. The only letdown was the chips.
Yeah. Now, the chips are not obviously the main event, but they do complement the main event.
I only had need, two they or need three to be on point. We needed
A bit of something on them, a bit more cooking, a bit more salt and stuff like that. Give a bit more TLC that they give the kebabs, but
what's your rating? They will lose points on the chips, unfortunately. Out of 10.
8.5.
Good stuff.
Great drink selection. You got an Iron Brew.
You took it out of my mouth. Yeah, Iron Brew. I walked in and I was like, I haven't had an Iron Brew since I'd say I was in Scotland last. And I was like, I'm going to get an Iron Brew with this because this is going to be meaty and it's going to need something strong to wash it down. And I took a sip out of the Iron Brew and I was like, I said to you, cheers, I forgot how sweet this stuff is. But I was like, yeah, top class drink selection. There was a couple of people asking why it was the no football special. We're in Donegal. I didn't see any of that. But Iron Brew was a very, very nice surprise to get. So I'm going to go with you, 8.5. It would have been a 9 plus only for the chips. But super charcoal grill, Bally Buffet, big thumbs up from the BTS boys. Unfortunately, big thumbs down, Gary, for the result the other night. Finn Harps won, Longford Town nil. There wasn't a huge pile separating the teams. Harps had more possession, probably more time in the Longford Town territory. They had a couple of shots that were dealt with easily enough by Halwicks, but there wasn't a huge pile between the teams. Longford were just, they lacked anything in the final third on the night, really. They didn't really threaten Harps. So on that basis, Harps probably just about deserved it.
Yeah, I don't really dispute that. Obviously, the change in point of the game was a minute either side of the half time.
Yeah.
Daniel Norris, who has been exceptional for Longford Town since he joined, is put through, wonderful ball, and he just grazes the wrong side of the post. It was hard for us to see it, but I clarified with a Finn Harps man, Nigel. He said it was very close. So, bit of a kick in the stones, but then for to immediately come out and give away a penalty, it was Victor to give away the penalty. But and I think we were talking after, it was like, it wasn't as if that, like, he just was caught.
Yeah,
it was just unfortunate. Like, it was just a simple trip, there was no tackle, and he was just caught on the wrong side. So, look, these things happen. Penalty was dispatched by its success, I think, wasn't it? And yeah. That was it. There was a few chances here and there, but I don't think the game ever really got up to speed where it was kind of...
And to be fair, and I don't want to sound bitter after a result, but the pitch made it very, very difficult for a good game of football to break out. It was extremely, extremely...
It was bubbly.
Yeah, very bubbly. So that was unfortunate. But for a team that's, you know, chasing playoffs and a team that was bottom, there was very, very little between them. So look, Harps, they have picked up a little run of form. I personally would like to see them get into the top five because they had such a good start to the season. And I like what Darren Murphy is trying to do up there. But I do just wonder now, after maybe seeing them the other night, whether they have enough in the tank. But we will see. But look, final word on our trip. It was great to get back in a car again together. And you twisted my arm. I wasn't going to go, but I ended up going with you. And you picked me up in Dundalk, which was great. And we had a bit of crack. And I have to say, look, Finn Park, it's probably looking... You know, it's not looking great at the minute up there in terms of the facility, as we all know. But the welcome you get when you walk in the gates of Finn Park, we were talking to so many stewards and volunteers and the lads that do the commentary and other people involved with the club, and they're genuinely delighted to see away supporters entering the ground, and that's a very welcome change to some of the other clubs you visit.
It is, yeah. No, look, I think that'll be vastly across the board. But look, it's always great to go in and people are happy to see you and chatting away to you and digging you out, particularly with the podcast. Like, I said this and you said that. You're some bollocks and all that. And that's all great crack, and that's what we want to see. And but look, I don't think we've ever had a bad time up in Ballybuffet. Some good results and bad results down through the years, but yeah, always a good time in Ballybuffet.
Yep, good people. Right, there was a game tonight as well. Obviously, I didn't see it because I was at the 1903 meeting. I don't know if you took the time out to watch it. It was a Champions League night, so you'd have to be a proper League of Ireland anorak now to be watching Wexford against Bray, but it did end 0-0, unfortunately.
It did, and actually I did watch a bit of it. Now, I'm working on something at the moment which made me not able to watch it all. More on that in the next few weeks. But I did watch. I actually forgot the Champions League is on. I really couldn't give a shit about.
I'm the same. Like everyone, I couldn't give a shit. Champions League. I'm like, there's seven more matches after tonight.
And there's someone on Thursday.
Yeah, and I'm just like, I don't really.
Who cares?
Yeah.
I don't give a shite. Like, you know, obviously, like there's some. I'm sure there's teams like, what's it? I think Stuttgart got Madrid down to the last 10 minutes. I was actually in Stuttgart last year. Lovely stadium. It's very new, but it's kind of like, you know, those types of stadiums where, like, there's no bad view.
Yeah.
I remember someone saying that to me about Wembley, who's been in Wembley like 15 times or something. And he was just like, yeah, no bad view. It's great. And I felt that with Stuttgart Stadium. So if you're ever in that neck of the woods, do try to get going to a game. I think I saw Gurusay score a hat-trick that day. I think he did. That was a crap hat-trick. But anyway, like that's a grand story. But like, it's not as if Stuttgart are a bunch of nobodies. Like, they were in the top five in the Bundesliga last year and led it for a good chunk of it. Like, you know, that's kind of all you're getting. Like, I don't really have any grow for it at all. Back in the day, you know, when you had 8 or 9 channels on the telly, and you were able to watch
the viewing figures ITV when they had the Champions League, right? You were talking 14, 15, 16, 17 million people tuning in for just a group stage match, and now it's down to 3 or 4 million on TNT or whoever shows the game. So, you know, they're talking about a lot at the minute about young people aren't watching football anymore, they're not consuming it the same way. It's all they want shorter content, and they're talking about let's play 60 minute matches, but like, they're not being exposed to it because, unless you have the means, you're not going to watch it on a paid service. And obviously, people have other means that we're not going to promote on the pod. But
I think people have realized is that, like, just for example, and I'm not comparing the League of Ireland to Tete or Oasis, but the experience of being there.
Yeah,
like, I wasn't at Coldplay. Can't remember the last gig I was at. But like, Coldplay looked insane.
Kira was at it now, and she said it was one of the best ever.
Yeah. Like, it's the experience of being there with a lot of other people that love the same thing that you do. And that's the same thing that you get with, well, certainly we get from going to League of Ireland football. You have loads of people there loving it all, being there, shouting and roaring, you know, drinking tea and eating shitty chips and all of that. Like, that's what you go there for. Mm. And, you know, me coming home from work and sitting down watching Champions League.
A bunch of millionaires running around.
Well, I don't care about the fact that they're millionaires. I just don't care.
Hmm.
And that's pretty much it. One thing, and we said it before, and go back to what Declan McBennett said elsewhere. He said, you know, we're talking about the stories or the Tina G, or TG Carr, excuse me, sports director that you had on a couple of years ago. He was talking about, like, I don't want to tell the story of the FAI Cup all the way up to the quarterfinals and then RTE take over and get to tell the climax. The story's been told, and it's all about stories and like, engaging on that. And I don't think there's any stories been told in the Champions League much anymore. It's boring.
Yep. Wexford 0, Bray 0.
It doesn't really do much for either team, but like,
it's probably not a bad result for either team.
It doesn't harm either team. Yeah. I think is the point. From the bits that I did manage to see, Almiral hit the crossbar in the last couple of minutes. which probably was the best chance of the game that I saw. So, look, decent result. Doesn't do, as I said, doesn't do any damage to either team and puts Bray and Wexford within a couple of points of each other, but they have the same games played. So yeah. I think, as we've kind of been alluded to, like, I know there's a bit of conversation about Athlone and Harps, which, and you actually, now that I think of it, looking at the table, we couldn't imagine where Athlone would fill the tog so full and now are just 2 points inside the playoffs. It would be a complete disaster from where they were up to last, I would say, 6 weeks ago, to fall out of the playoffs and not and allow Harps in, considering, and
that links in nicely what we're about to talk about. FAI Cup review time. Athlone won, Drogheda 4 in the quarterfinals, and go back probably 2 months, people were talking about, oh, Athlone second in the table, winning 6 or 7 on the trot, scoring lots of goals, playing good football, all these players.
Yep.
You know, they could maybe do a Drogheda or Dundalk in a playoff. And then you see a result like this. And I know the playoff will be a one-off game and anything can happen in those one-off games, but
in the final,
it looks like the Athlone bubble may be bursting.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. And actually, they have the 30 games and their goal difference is 0 in the league. Obviously, I don't think this is the most important game that they could have played for them. Considering the way their form has been, like, they needed to really concentrate on the league and actually maintaining their playoff status. Losing against Drogheda was in the cup wasn't going to really help them with that. And I don't think it would have helped them mentally either. It's a good result for Drogheda, but at their ease. I kind of alluded, I think I said it to you last week, I'm not sure how it's all going at Athlone. It is, the head seem to have dropped and like are staying dropped, if you know what I mean. And these types of results is obviously not very helpful in that regard.
Yeah. You laughed at me when I suggested it earlier in the year about potential.
I wouldn't laugh at you now, would I?
Potential dark horses in the FAI Cup. And one of them, now I probably put forward about 3, so I'm not going to, you know, blow the trumpet too much here. But I did say Drogheda, that I fancied them to have a very good cup run. And for me, they're going to get to the final.
Who are they playing in the semi?
Wexford. Home to Wexford.
Ooh. Yeah, what happened with the freezer the other night up in the Brandywell?
Out in the cold balls, yeah.
Yeah, Jesus, yeah. That was a surprise. It was a lot of heaven and blinding going on in FAI HQ.
The Frogs would bring a decent crowd up to, it's a big town, is Drogheda, the biggest rural town outside of Dublin, I think, alongside Dundalk. So I think, and they get good crowds in Weavers Park given its condition. So I think they'd bring a big crowd up to Dublin, and then a Bowes or a Derry will obviously bring a big crowd as well. I'd be hopeful we can try and do what we did last year numbers wise. Let's move on though. Wexford, not to overlook them, they will be in the semi-finals against Drogheda. They had a 4-1 win against Treaty, and look, we will talk about Wexford in a second, because they're actually starting to have a really good season now after a struggle for the most part, but they've kicked into gear now. Just on Treaty, and we had a few listeners get on to us about this.
Yeah,
a lot of very, very angry travelling Treaty fans. There was a lot of, I believe, chants directed Tommy Barrett's way, Tommy out chants. Lots of just very, very angry Treaty fans. What do you make of calls for Tommy Barrett to go?
Look, we'd be big fans of Tommy. I think, though, we're not seeing enough of the football. Is that fair to say? Like, Tommy has been working miracles on no money, minus money, probably, for the last few years. And as it's, you know, I always like to say, he put a squad 10 minutes together before their first ever game. But are the fans' expectations too great? Like, has Tommy done so well in his first few seasons that has set maybe unrealistic expectations for the resources that they have and the players that they can attract and keep a hold of? Like, I would say, didn't Willie Earnshaw leave there in the off season just for work.
Yeah, he wasn't playing a whole pile. But yeah, no, that's a fair point.
But I'm just saying,
I think what's also maybe added pressure on him, obviously new owners came in, and I think there was probably a lot of excitement and all, we're going to see more investment. And to be fair, recently they did bring Lee J. Lynch back to the club, and I think he's on a full, he's a professional at the club, which is a step in the right direction. But that's one player. Think of the players they've lost over the last years, the Jack Bradys of this world, the numerous players that at least once or twice a season a statement comes out, this player's left because of personal or work reasons. It's incredibly difficult to not only maintain a team to just compete at that level, but to try and, you know, get promoted. I think it's unrealistic expectations. And if there's people out there that, and look, we have a grow for Tommy Barrett, we're not going to try and hide that. We've had him on the pod. We think he's a great lad and he's done a great job. But at the same time, there's other managers here and other players that we have time for. And at the same time, if they have a shite game, we call it out on this pod. And some players have fallen out with us and managers have fallen out with us over the years. And others take it on the chin and say, the lads wear their heart on their sleeve. They call it as they see it. They don't have an agenda. That's literally what this podcast is about. And I think that's why this podcast clicks with a lot of people. We will call it as we see it. We don't worry about upsetting people. If you want to take it that way and take it personally, that's up to you. I don't think you'll go anywhere in the game if you take stuff personally at League of Ireland level, to be honest. If you're willing to take it on the chin, great. We can have the crack. Tommy Barrett has done a remarkable job for me at Treaty. If there's people out there that believe they can find a better manager that will get more out of Treaty and its current guys, go ahead.
Yeah, I fully agree. Now, that's not... And as I said, I do agree, generally. But if Tommy's making a hams of it, he's not beyond, lad, Tommy, you're finished.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not, and we haven't seen enough of Treaty. Like, I don't think either of us were down there this season, were we? No.
No.
No. So, like you know, we normally we would get down to Treaty once a year. I think we're playing them Friday week, are we?
Yeah.
Might see if we can rectify that.
No, thanks.
But we have a lot of very dedicated fans.
Yeah.
Podcast fans down there.
Big fans down there.
Yeah. They say they don't listen, but they always do. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I think some of the personal abuse, to the extent... Yeah, that's been said to us is too much. There's no question about that. And I think Tommy has done a fantastic job, as you said, in the current guise of Treaty. And maybe there was an expectation of that things are going to change and things are going to improve, and we're going to have this, you know, financial capability that probably hasn't materialized. And maybe at the start of the season, when they did overachieve, what did they win their first three games on the bounce? Which was a total, you know, untruth.
False outlier, yeah.
Yeah, a false dawn, as you like to say. Mm-hmm. Not a real reflection of where they were going to be across the course of the season. But also, if things, you know, there's things that, like, we would see on the pitch, you're like, what the hell is going on here? Like, we can't understand it. And sometimes that'll lead into, like, yeah, okay, we've enough of this manager, and or a team should have enough of a particular manager. Like, you have to remember, what was it, 2017, when people had the "it's not working out" banners out in Tala?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it can change very quickly. So equally for Tommy, it's been going very good now. Maybe there does need to be a change. I would disagree with that. I think Tommy's doing a good job in the limitations that he has to work in.
I think the club still has a lot of... and that's natural. They're in the league, what, 4 years? There's a long way for that club to go. You talked about their start of the season, great results, massive crowds. I think there was 2,000 at their first game and everyone was celebrating it. Results drop off, them crowds are gone.
Yeah.
The club is still very much finding its feet at this level. They've tried to really connect with people this year, going back to the blue jersey, and that's one. There's so much more for them to do there. Like, I've heard stories, not about Treaty, but some clubs in the first division that they're struggling just to get food for players after games. Some clubs, like,
really, yeah.
I don't know if Treaty is in that position, but I can only imagine a newly established club like that there's not going to be huge piles of cash rolling around the place. It's difficult to just keep the thing ticking. Never mind, as I said, form a competitive side. So
we've just spent the first half an hour of this podcast talking about Dundalk, who had two goals in Europe.
Yeah.
Struggling. And Longford Town could only, for example, could only dream of that money over, coming in the door over the course of 5 years, never mind a year. Do you know what I mean?
I spoke about earlier the cost. Like, I was, when I seen, and again, it was a great presentation from the 1903 tonight, when I seen it go up on the screen, $4,000 last week on buses and food for a couple of teams. Yeah. I was like, Jesus Christ. So imagine Treaty, the travelling. Well, lucky enough, there's so many Munster derbies these days in the first division, it probably helps. But, like, it's not handy. It really is not handy.
Yeah, exactly. But like,
and they're also paying rent for that stadium. Of course, they don't own the stadium. That's one luxury that Islington for Town and Sligo have. They own their own stadium. They don't have to worry about that. But the outgoings there are massive. Look, we've probably spent enough time on that. On Wexford, just very quickly to wrap it up. We talked about them getting a draw tonight in the league. Probably not a bad result. Just keeps that unbeaten run ticking. They go into the game against Longford now with a lot of confidence.
I think that's actually 9 or 10 in a row that they haven't lost.
Mm.
That's great form. I have to hand it to them.
Just on Treaty as well, it's hard to see the season ending well there because Enda Curran went off with what I believe was quite a nasty injury. I think he had a tweet up the other day that he was well looked after by the medical staff at Wexford. That was good to hear, but sounds like a nasty one for Enda. So we send him our best wishes. I don't know if we'll see him again this season, so that's a concern. And look, he's the sort of player he's kind of hinted in the past, you know, his body has taken a lot of abuse now at this stage in the league. So who knows? Will we see him again in the League of Ireland? Yeah. I don't know. I hope we do. But he did, of course, get his 100 goals in all comps this season. So
I will say one thing: like he's the type of he's hard put down.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? He keeps coming back. So I don't think we've seen the end of Enda.
I hope not. Maybe another spin in the red and black. Who knows? UCD 0, Bowes 4. We all worried about this as being a potential banana skin for Bowes. They did it the way their fans would have wanted to see them do it. Easy.
Yep. Didn't make a hames of it. And got it done fairly comfortably, it has to be said. There was a bit of worry, but like there was a concern that like they would find it difficult. Like UCD had a strong or in the middle of a strong season. I'm not positive. I was just based on the Kerry performance, where the expectation, because Bowes haven't had a good season, so there has been little expectation on them doing anything. So when it came to, you know, a difficult or a team that was like really, really up for it, such as Kerry, you were kind of thinking, right, they're going to make a bit of hard work of this. But look, they got it over the line. They did what they needed to do. Great finish from Ross Tierney to open the score, I have to say. But look, I think was it 2-0 at halftime? I can't actually remember. Or was it 1-0 at halftime? Doesn't matter. They got the job done. They did it fairly comfortably and they did what they needed to do and now they're into the semi-final.
And finally, again, we're probably going to talk about in depth here, Derry City 2, Shelburne 0. This was, I think, one of Derry's best performances this season. They were really up for this. Shells didn't look, didn't dig in the way you'd expect in maybe a league game. I suggested this last week. This was a more important game for Derry than it was for Shells, and I think we saw that on the night. But that's not to take away from what was a very, very good Derry performance. I actually enjoyed watching them on Saturday evening on the telly.
They did everything that we have been expecting them and hoping and looking for them to do in league games this season. I thought they were sensational. And even like someone put up a clip of the opening goal and the way that Adam O'Reilly picked up the ball in his own half, drove hard to get it, then went forward. Like, I'm sure he has probably had that coached out of him all season, but he just went forward, played the pass in, took the, like, it wasn't even a risky pass, but like, I suppose in Derry terms, it would have been the riskiest thing they've done all year, playing a forward pass like that against Shells. But they were, I thought they were very good. But that goal in particular was lovely to watch. Really nice finish. So yeah, it was. I couldn't believe it was Derry nearly at times, but they were full value for it. And equally, I couldn't believe it was Shells. They did not show up. I thought they were extremely poor.
Yeah.
So, good result for... do you think it'll have much of an impact?
No.
You don't?
No. I said that before the game last week, didn't I?
You did. You said as much. I don't know. I think it'll help Derry more than it'll hurt Shelburne.
Yeah.
Which I think it might be a problem, though. But like, if you look at the table at the moment, there's how many points between the two of them? There's 4 points, same number of games, 7 games left apiece.
I'm still sticking with Shells.
They haven't
been great in a few weeks now.
And they go away to Galway next week or Friday. That'll be tasty. Yeah. Anyway, we'll come on to that later.
Just on the FAI Cup semi-finals, Bowes against Derry and Drogheda against Wexford. What is your final, Gary?
I have a feeling I think that the Bowes Derry game will be on the Friday night, from what I'm hearing. I'm going to say I think Derry will have too much.
Yeah.
It might be a bit of a Shakespearean tragedy in a way for Bowes, but I just don't think they'll have enough.
No.
And I think there is a bit of pressure on Derry to get to the final. Whatever about winning it, but getting there is important.
I assume you're going for Drogheda in the other one.
I am. Yeah. Drogheda have a bit of firepower there. You know, you know, my friend James Michael Taylor.
One of our listeners actually tweeted us the other night. Yeah, which is great to see. But it's amazing. Like, this is so many ifs and buts and maybes, and we've got so long to go yet still in the season. But Derry could do the double. We have some egg on our face then, boy.
Oh, look, we have egg on our face every week. Just look at the predictions league. Jesus Christ, I can't get by a point. But... look, it'll be some turnaround. I'm not, obviously, I think you deserve what you get come the end of the season, but I'd be very close to saying that Derry didn't deserve it.
Ah, look, whoever gets it deserves it.
I know that, but if I was ever going to say it, it'd be about this Derry team winning this league.
Okay. Right, speaking of the predictions league, time to get stuck into it, Gary. Right, last week we were joined by Benjamin Martin from Waterford, and he played a blinder, as all of our listeners seem to do these days. He got 12 points.
Jesus.
I got 8. I was happy enough with that, and you only got 4. So again, you were the lowest scoring player. So latest scores in the BTS predictions league. You are bottom on 113. Yep. I am second on 134, and the listeners... are out in front on 154. We're joined this week by Colm Lamb. I'm not sure who Colm supports, but great to have him on the show. And we will go to Pats against Waterford first, with Colm going for a 2-1 win to the Saints.
A 2-1 win to the Saints. This is going to be a... is this on Friday?
Yeah.
We'll head along to that. I'm struggling. I think Pats will have too much. I think some of the players that they've brought in are starting to tick. El Bezzetti is very dangerous, playing his former team. I will go for a 1-0 win to Pats.
Okay, I'm going to follow Colm and go 2-1 to Pats. They look to be just clicking into gear nicely over the last few weeks. Galway against Shells, you touched on this. This is a huge game for Duffer.
I'm not sure they're going to get 3 points here.
Will they come away with
them? I think they'll get... I'm going to go for a 1-1.
Okay.
I think
Galway played well last night at times.
So did I. And, you know, there is... and actually, I don't know if you've seen this. Have you... is there not a talk about Rob Slevin? You notice this? On Twitter?
I've seen bits and pieces mentioned, yeah.
Best player in the squad, not getting games. Maybe some Galway fan can chime in to us about that, because I've just seen it the last few days, some Rob Slevin talk, so it'd be great to get some extra context on that. But yeah, I don't know. It's just not all there for Shells at the minute. Like, are they getting a bit ropey now it's coming to the end of it? Are they going to go and grab it? Hold it for their own? I'm not 100% sure.
Derry are playing Rovers. That's the game we're going to go to next. So a point here wouldn't...
Oh, Shells need a point.
Yeah. I'm going to back them for the point. I'm going to follow you 1-1. And Colm's going 1-1 as well. So we're all thinking the same there, it would seem. Derry Rovers, Gary, up in the Brandywell. Give it to me.
1-0 Derry.
Oh, shout.
I've done this before, and I got done
yeah.
a number of times by backing Derry when I shouldn't be backing them at all. But I'm going for it here. I think the piece are like the Brandywell has been like looked at as like a not a great atmosphere at times.
Yeah.
And, you know, oh, the bad football. But like, I think what we saw on Saturday would boost everybody around the place. Yeah,
and the atmosphere was notably better on Saturday. And we've spoken about it before where Derry games are apparently sold out and then you look at it and loads of empty seats. Every seat seemed to be filled there on Saturday. And there was a great atmosphere after, a great buzz. I think I might have to side with you here.
Yep. The lad who can't predict shit.
Yeah.
That's who you're following here. But yeah. Point taken. But I don't know. I just have that feeling. I think that it's time that they step into it. And if they're Rory, when he's listening, he's looking at just Galway and Shells, that'll be tough for them. Shells a bit under pressure there. Galway running well. Will feel a bit sour that they didn't come away with a point last night in the Medici. Shells are going to find it difficult. Can we go and close the gap ourselves?
And obviously Derry need to make up points on Shells, but in a way, it's lucky the teams are playing at the same time, because if Shells do slip up, Derry are going to slip up, and that's just what they've done over the last couple of seasons. So yeah. They need to just focus on the task at hand. That's Shamrock Rovers. I'm going to back them 2-1. This is a massive call. This is a massive game in the season. Colm's going 2-1 as well for the listeners. We'll move on to Bowes against Drogs. There's a slim chance Drogheda could catch Bowes. They'll have to win this game to maintain any hopes of that.
Have Bowes kind of turned a bit? A
little bit, yeah.
Ooh, I'm thinking are Drogheda just looking at Dundalk and be like, look, they're in bits. They're brown bread. I don't think they're going to like coast, but I think they're... I'll go for 1-1 here. 1-1 here.
You don't fancy Bowes to win it, no?
No, I don't.
Gonna go 2-1 Bowes here.
No, fair enough.
And Colm won 2-0 Bowes. Sligo against Dundalk, a game that's taken on an entirely different complexion now. Dundalk supporters will just be delighted to be in the showgrounds on Saturday and to have a team to support. Can they get something on the field? Can they send them fans home even happier?
Dundalk.
If ever a team was to fill the togs, it would be Sligo.
Yeah. Maybe like the sympathetic subconscious, they could do it a win. I don't see it happening. I've been, certainly in the last few weeks, and obviously this has coincided with the results, but I think Sligo have been impressive. Playing with a bit more excitement, tempo, as you were saying earlier. I'm gonna go for a 2-1 win to Sligo. Maybe some other hard luck story thrown in for good measure for Dundalk.
Colm's going 1-0 Sligo. I'm gonna go with an unorthodox one here. I'm gonna go 1-0 Dundalk. I think Sligo might just do a Sligo. And yeah, gonna go 1-0 Dundalk here.
I bet you're rage that you have to be standing in the gantry with me on Saturday instead of going to this game.
Into the first division, Bray against Kerry.
1-0 Bray. I can see them winning it and being comfortable enough, actually. But this will be a really usual time for Bray to fill the tugs.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, there was a bit of argy-bargy, or did you mention it? But there was a bit of argy-bargy when the players were walking off against Longford Town last Friday week. You did mention it last week, actually. Follow that up with a 0-0. Lorcan Fitzgerald is now gone. I'll go for a 1-0 win to Bray, but this could go any which way.
Yeah, I'm gonna follow you as well. 1-0 to Bray. Kerry, just we'll actually have a look at Kerry's
running
recent form here. So they've had a few draws recently. When was the last time Kerry got a win? Can anyone remember off the top of their head? Kerry's last win.
I can't remember. They haven't won a game in 10.
Cup. They beat Cove in the Cup, but their last league win was against Longford back in June.
Oh.
Now, Longford have obviously won since then. They've beaten Bray again for the second time this season. But there's obviously a lot of talk about Longford's form, but Kerry's form has really, really nosedived as well. It's gone back to the sort of form that we saw last season. They're maybe that bit more competitive, I suppose. But remember, we talked about a lot last season, particularly when Billy Dennehy was over the team, the hard luck stories and that type of thing.
Yeah.
Like, how many more points are Kerry going to pick up this season?
Well, I think they'll finish bottom, as you know. It's probably going
to... They're running away at Bray on Friday. Home to Finn Harps. That would have looked like a possibility a few weeks ago. Harps in decent form now. Cove, away to Cove. They have won in Cove in the Cup. They're away to Wexford. That looks tough. They're at home to Athlone on the last day. And if the wheels continue to come off at Athlone, then that could be a good time to cash in and get a win.
But
they'll probably get one more win between now and the end of the season, I think. Then if you look at Longford's running, I don't think anyone fancies them. I think Longford are like 4-1 outsiders for Saturday against Wexford, which is understandable given Wexford's form. Away to Treaty, I suppose Longford have struggled down there in the past, but Treaty looks like their season's kind of done. At home to Athlone in the Derby, the wheels have come off Athlone. At home to Cove and away to UCD. There's probably a couple of games there Longford could win between now and the end of the season. So maybe you're suggesting that Longford won't finish bottom isn't that mad after all. But I'm just pointing out there hasn't been that much talk about Kerry's poor form recently, whereas there's a lot of talk about Longford. So I'll go with a Bray win 1-0. And as I said, Colum's gone 2-0 to Bray there. UCD against Cove.
I think UCD are just too good. Like obviously they're the best of the rest, which is not me going out on a limb there, but I just think they'll have too much. I think they're ticking away nicely. They want to confirm that second place position. I know it doesn't make a bag of difference, but it's nicer to be playing the team in fifth. I can't see anything else. I'm going to go for a 2-0 win to UCD.
2-0 win to UCD. Okay. Colm is going for a 2-1 win to UCD. I'll follow him as well. I'll go 2-1 UCD. Cork against Harps. This is going to be same old, same old.
Yeah, afraid so. We thought they might be on the beach. They are clearly not. Taken away nicely. Coffey got a couple of goals there on Friday. Jack Doherty got one as well. Yeah, it's just probably like Galway levels like last year where they can't but win. It's not possible for them to not win. Do you know what I mean? Like regardless of what's going on. So I'm gonna go for a 2-0 win to Cork.
Yep. I'm following both of you a lot tonight, but I'm gonna follow you again. 2-0 Cork. Colm going 3-1 to Cork. Treaty against Athlone. This is an interesting game. Both teams going through really difficult patches.
Is there an opportunity here for Athlone to do something, get a bit of a grab a hold of it a bit? I think it is an opportunity for them to do that, but I think they really need it. They haven't won a game in the last five anyway, based on the table I'm looking at here. So they need to get up off their holes. And some of the defending that they've been doing is just shocking. Absolutely shocking. And plus, Treaty are the lowest scorers in the division. So I think the pressure that Athlone are kind of under.
No Endicurran now either. So,
that'd be comfortable. So, yeah, I'm going to go for a very tight game, but I think Athlone will shave it 1-0.
You're going to go 1-0 to Athlone. I was going to go 1-0 to Treaty myself, but I think the lack of Endicurran now probably, and we know he loves scoring against Athlone. He scored more goals against Athlone than any other team. So, without him, Athlone usually score. I was going to go 0-0, but Athlone usually score. I'll go for the classic Treaty 1-1. Colm going for a 2-1 win to Athlone. And finally, Longford against Wexford. Colm going 3-1 to Wexford. And I'd probably be thinking something along the same lines here. I know Longford have shown signs of improvement over the last little while, but Wexford are in tremendous form at the moment.
Yeah, well, I think Longford are going to do it, as you know. What did you go for score-wise?
I haven't gone for anything yet. I was waiting for you to rabble on there for a while.
Oh, were you?
Look, I'm going to lay my cards on the table. I'm going to be going for a Wexford win here.
Right, no surprises there. Why don't you just marry Dundalk?
Well, I am.
I'm talking about the football club. actually, yeah, just, you know. I will go for a Longford win.
Okay, unsurprising.
2-1 to the town.
Okay, I'm going to flip that and go 2-1 to Wexford. And as I said, Colm goes 3-1 to Wexford. So that's the BTS Predictions League done and dusted for this week. Before we go, though, it is the BTS Hotline. Let's see what the good folk have got to say this week. Surprise, surprise. He's first as ever. Git, this is aimed at me. Will you be in the away end next year when Dundalk visit the Flan Siro? No. And I think anyone knows my loyalty when the two teams play, certainly not split. I'm not wearing a half and half jersey or anything like that.
Well, Longford Town, thank you for your continued support.
Sam, a few weeks back I asked if Cove or Treaty could still make the playoffs, ignoring Harps because they forgot how to win. Typically they've won three in a row now, so it's only fair to ask, can they crack the top five? They can,
yeah,
they can. Just as I said, I thought they lacked a little bit of quality the other night.
I thought they lacked the quality as well, but I think Longford Town are becoming harder to play against.
Mm.
And I don't think that's disputable, really.
And on the flip side, Harps have become harder to play against. They've come back to been that bit more hardy than...
Correct.
You know, so you're looking at Bray, you're looking at Lone, particularly at Lone at the moment, two teams that could be described as been in free fall. So if Harps can just keep ticking along, then, yeah, there's every chance they can finish in the top five.
They need to just keep pegging points on the board. Yeah. Like
they can't go through a run like they did again. You know, if you're going to lose one, get a point the next week. They can't go on.
Do something about it. Yeah, exactly. They fell into what Athlone are doing now. All we can do is lose. Or what Longford have been doing a lot this season was finding ways to lose games. Whereas, I think Harps are out of that, though. Whatever change was made or whatever rooting or shouting that needed to be done has been done, and they have flipped it. Like, they were far more solid than what we saw earlier on this season.
And we should say as well, and should have said this much earlier, apologies on my behalf, but we had obviously Darren Murphy, the Harps manager, on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he did lose his father last week. We spoke to him ahead of kickoff, and obviously there was respect shown to his dad before the game the other night. So condolences to Darren and his family on that. But it was good for him to get back to business and back to winning ways the other night. David Relihan, the frustrating thing about historical issues with the FAI is that when a new problem occurs, it is assumed the FAI must be responsible. I find it very bizarre that people would expect the FAI to prevent issues with new owners. It abdicates responsibility for clubs.
Yep.
I think you've kind of already touched on that over the last few weeks, so we'll not delve into that. Pat, glad it looks like the club is safe, and not trying to excuse the mistakes of previous owners, but would you agree that a good portion of the Dock's problems are due to absentee fans no longer attending games? Attendance is booming in the league, and the Dock averaging around 2,300. Look, I've touched on this. Oriel Park is a huge issue in that regard. Adam, is there even a tiny chance Rovers can win the league, considering we still have to play Derry and Shells? They win them two, guys, they're right in the mix.
Yeah, well, look, I think Derry will win on Friday, so that's that out of the picture.
Thomas Kelly, what do you honestly think Longford can do for next year to drive us up? And by up, I mean up the league. Things can only get better, but Christ, it's been a tiring season, I'm sure, for everyone involved.
Yeah, make no mistake. We've probably seen the most games outside of this staff. I think one thing, a stronger preseason, I think, and would be important. Like, Longford Town have suffered a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
That probably needs a bit of a deeper dive. Than like,
but then again, like Shamrock Rovers, all the resources they've had, you heard Stephen Bradley talking about, they're going to try and do a deeper dive. And I don't think they've got to the bottom of why they have so many injuries. So if they can't find the answer, then I'm not sure Longford can. But one thing I will say that has encouraged me over the last few weeks, the summer signings, it took some of them a long time to find their feet. I think Eric Yarrow, his debut in Bray, I was like, oh Jesus.
He was played out of position there.
He was played out of position. But since then, he's gone back into centre-back and he's really growing into that position.
Yeah, he was brilliant on Friday.
Jamie has come in alongside him and they look a solid enough partnership. Emre Topku in the midfield looks a really nice player. He's on loan from Drogheda. Maybe they can get him to stay. And then obviously Daniel Norris has been the big one. I think what Longford need and what every club needs is a goal-scoring striker. That's something they don't seem to have at the moment. But I think some of those summer signings that have come in have definitely livened things up. So
yeah,
more of that, please. Right, Paddy, Neil. No, we won't read that one out. That's a bit rude. Daniel Foran. Rovers playing Derry, Bowes, Pats, Applewell and Shells in the next 3 weeks. How many can Rovers win? And if Rovers win all four league games there, is the drive for five back on? But as we said, of course it is, but we don't think they will. But as I touched on and Daniel highlighted there, awful clatter of games coming up for Shamrock Rovers. And finally, Joe Doran, the battle for bottom, Kerry FC or Longford? You've said Longford, and you maybe just start to lead me that way as well. There might be hope to avoid the wooden spoon.
Yeah.
Cracking it over the arse.
Is the wooden spoon enough when you lose all your games?
No, bottom.
Oh, bottom. Okay.
Probably means something else in rugby. You probably get, I don't know, a trophy for it or something.
Oh, you probably do, yeah.
A gold-plated wooden spoon.
Yeah, I've had a couple of people ask me, like, why is rugby so good and the Irish football team so bad? Like, what's going on? It's like, leave me alone. Don't talk to me. Yeah, I think Longford will not finish bottom.
Very good. But look, guys, that is it. As I said, this show, by the time it goes out in the morning, it could be totally all out of date. We may need an emergency pod at some stage this week. But look, we've done our best to try and cover the situation at Dundalk. I suppose, as I say, when things settle down at the club over the next few weeks, and hopefully they will, we'll try and get some voices on the pod outside of ours to give us a deeper insight into what's gone on there. But the overriding feeling, I suppose, for everyone is relief. Yeah.
No, and like, I know I was going on about it there at the start, and like, I don't think this, like, it's obviously the story is far from over, and this is just a step. It's not, I know the reaction is great because like it was so dire, was a Monday morning, and I appreciate that, but there's a lot of work that needs to be done in the next few weeks, and hopefully it all comes to pass in the right way. And you know, a long-term solution is put in place, which will be great. And because I was talking, and just the final point on it, I was talking to a friend of mine who would have Longford Town, would be a Longford Town sympathizer through me, let's say, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And he's been to a few games with me down through the years, but I think it was a shock for him to see something like this, because all he's heard about is like all the successes that the League of Ireland has had down in the last few years since COVID. Great, better crowds, better success in Europe. Maybe debatable about that. But like, you know, things are moving more in a more positive light. And then to be dragged back down into where teams were going into this situation multiple times was a bit of a shock. So look, hopefully this is just a blip and we can look back on it as just that was a bit of a worry for a while and it can be moved on and not thought about anymore.
Yeah, well, look, Dundalk live to fight another day, and this podcast lives to fight another day, despite the fact that Gary Riley is on absolutely extortionate wages on this show. He talks about all these players coming back to the league and all the money they're on. Well, he is he's emptying my pockets here. I know, of course, he does it for the love of the league and the love of the pod, so we won't have to go into the scam.
You keep all the money.
Look, that's it for this week. We'll be back again next week. Please, God, a less dramatic week, and we can focus on the football a bit more. But for this week, from Kieran Burke, from Gary Riley, and from our sponsors, Quint AV, check out quintav.ie for all your sound, light, and AV solutions. Huge thanks for joining us, and we'll speak to you next week. Come on, the town.
Thanks for listening. Check out BetweenTheStripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.